say hello to your mom, be sure to do that. Ron Warner, State Senator from Northwest Hennepin County, meeting with the Maple Grove High School Rangers. I'm Teddy Hart. Just different differences, given the fact that the House passed last year in the Senate.
Understandably, not happy exploitation of child abuse and neglect that we have to criminal, but maybe more on the civil side, economic side, is taking care of it. What kind of children should be removed from the home? And while those things are going on, the ability to, or even after the ability to get the specific name of the person who collected the data about you, that may result in something really bad happening to you. I just want to make sure that we think through all of those pieces and know what the ramification of that might be.
Any additional questions for the testifiers? Okay, thanks, Mr. Sandoval. So, I'm sure that I don't know how to answer this question. Senator Bigelow, anyone? In terms of that particular question, but not about identifying who did the breach, how do you apply, is there other language here? Do you not remember that? How do you apply the capacity to hold someone accountable for what is indicated earlier, which is that there have to be policies and procedures that include access to the data, the sharing of the data with other government authorized by law, and that it only be accessed for whose work is not necessarily requires that access. So, is the access to the name of the person who is pursuing this information, if that's not available in that process, how do you carry out the responsibility of oversight?
First, I'm not sure if this is part of your question, but in case it is, I'll cover that. Sexual honor is not confined itself specifically to a data breach in the instance of access to someone's name, except in those instances when it's the function of an investigation, etc. To answer your second question, I'm not entirely clear if this is, of course, difficult to apply the consequence that the data breach has occurred. We don't have who actually committed the breach. That's the challenge and the responsibility that we put to the U.S. government to figure out how to better track who's accessing data. A and B, taking sure that they're accessing data of their job responsibilities for the task at hand. So we don't get into a lot of detail about that, but we ask them, we tell yes, the government that they need to establish some form of procedure to figure that out. That's kind of part of the bill, to say, start keeping better track of the access to this data and making sure they're doing it for the right reasons and carrying out their duties and responsibilities only. No matter that they're on the clock, that they have a right to use the data, that when they're using the data, they need to be doing it for job related reasons.
If I understand what we're struggling with, one is the requirement that process be established so that you can be certain that people are accessing data for the appropriate purposes. That's the first part of it. And the second part is the release. How do you release that information to? Do you release the name of the person who did the breach to the person who has had the breach? Is that Senator Sharon? Are you talking about the data subject? Yes. Senator Bigelow.
Madam Chair, Senator Sharon, yes, that's in this system there has to be a violation. Yes.
And Senator Sharon, this bill came as a result of the DNR and a situation in which that particular situation was not brought to light because of any protocols with DPS about the use of their database, but rather another investigation where it was inadvertently discovered this, and so some of us are very skeptical that the processes in place were sufficient if you couldn't recognize somebody that was looking at records to that extent. If that wasn't flagged, then the other part would be flagged, and we
just recently this last week. KSPP did a report about electoral trackers and employees looking up over 7,000 records. We also heard from a lobbyist who was working in support of the medical marijuana issue, which appears as in contrast to law enforcement's position on that issue. He's not a recent inquiry into the that person's records show dozens of hookups across the state in areas where this individual never even visited. Some of them at 3 o'clock in the morning. So it's pretty clear, at least to me and others, that still have some groups taking this issue seriously, and that there's plenty of room for improvement in public policy to try and push them forward a little bit, if you will.
I understand the context in which this is being developed and its importance, and I understand that Subdivision 5 language is specifically directed towards establishing a process. I interrupt just what you're describing. It seems like there's a second question here, which is language 1.19 through 1.22. And that's the language about the release, whether or not you release the name of the person upon request for the extent of data maintained with them, an individual has access to the name of the person to have obtained access to private data. That's the subject that we're talking about here, I think. And so my question was, as I look at that, if I've had a data breach, I have a request, whose language would adopt, and I would have the right to know who breached the data.
That's correct, sir. That's correct. Also, as part of an active investigation, I would identify an active federal law enforcement.
So, I'm trying to understand, this was in an ordinance amendment. What you're saying is the problem that can be created by that language. Would you repeat that?
Senator Sharon, this language says even if it's not a data breach, so even if you access it as part of your day-to-day regular operations and the government wants you to be looking at that data as part of your job, the person who is the subject of that data then could get the name of the person. So if it's your job to go and look at how much money someone makes for the purposes of calculating child support, they're in court, it's a regular part of the day-to-day operation. The person who accesses that information's name specifically can be made available to the person whose data was looked at. And so the question is distinguishing between people who are particularly difficult and are doing things that aren't supposed to be doing it, and people that are doing the very difficult tasks that we are charging with doing, investigating a child abuse case. First of all, removal, maybe looking at vulnerable adults who are creations or conservatorships. I can actually have to look at the data to find out whether or not it's appropriate. Those kinds of issues, should the subject get the specific name of the person who's doing it, for example, the public defender's office last year, we gave them access to look at the records of people who would be witnesses in a case. If they're on probation, they can get access to the probation records. So this would mean that the person who's being looked at would have access to the specific name of the person that looked at that data without them knowing how that's happening, unless it's part of a criminal investigation. So I'm concerned about when it's not a breach, when it's part of the day-to-day operations of their government job that they're supposed to be doing, but the person gets a specific name of who's doing it. That's one of the questions.
I understand. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And let's affirm states.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.